Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, as the Apostle Paul wrote so many years ago, that we would all be filled with the fullness of yourself. And I also want to pray, Lord, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that will be spoken about here today. Take your word, Lord God, and magnify it. Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our sight, Lord God. Make him so much greater than we presently see or understand. Lord, we're looking to you, Lord. We're looking to you. And we just go ahead and thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God that will challenge us and bring change, Lord God, and transformation in our lives so that you will be able to use us, Lord God, to help others, Lord God, experience change and transformation in their lives by becoming a living example of Jesus. In your name, we thank you and bless you and glorify you. Amen. Amen. I wrote down here, all hail. And that's actually Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 28. But, I was talking to Christine after I did my study today. And I went through the house and I was like, all hail! All hail! And then all of a sudden it came to me, hail or hell? And I'm like, whoa. Here I'm hailing the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And it was like, well, there's a choice. There's a choice to hail or to have hell. Or do you know how to hail or rejoice in the Lord while you're experiencing a hell? And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool, Lord. I said, I like that. Because once again, I got to look at myself. Am I hailing or the word rejoice? It's actually the word rejoice. Am I able to hail or rejoice in the Lord in all circumstances? It says here in Romans chapter 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Are we going to allow tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Even when it looks like we're being killed every day. Even when it looks like that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, even though our life looks like there's no help and people see what's the matter with them, but this is what the word says. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Twice already we read of God's love. Twice already we read of his love. And as you've heard me explain this before, this more than conquerors, it says that we will be able to exceed in that thing as an overcomer. And we're going to look a little bit at that word today, overcome. That he wants us to exceed. He wants us to continue to grow in this overcoming life that Jesus Christ has secured for us and now resides within us. Amen? So I want to go back over here to Matthew chapter 28 and read that portion of Scripture. Remember I said we're going to be looking at the cross. We're going to be looking at the finished work of Jesus. And we know that Matthew chapter 28 starts with Jesus' resurrection. And we know it was the first day of the week. And Mary Magdalene, verse 1, and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And they were expecting, a closed door or a closed tomb. But they found it open. I want to go down here to verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I hope everybody here today is hungering for more of Jesus. I hope that your life just wants more and more of him. But look what he goes on here to say. He is not here. He's what? He is risen. He is risen. No more to die again. No more to suffer again. The penalty. You know, in that word is so much power. In that word is in that he is risen. It takes us all the way back to what was instigated or what came into the human race in Genesis chapter 3. When God told man, in Genesis chapter 2, when God told him, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says you're going to die. And they ate of that tree, did they not? Adam and Eve ate of that tree. And sin was introduced into the human race, and because of sin entering the human race, death had spread to all people, as it says in Romans 5:12. And so disobedience came into their heart, and this wonderful, wonderful passage that we just got through reading, "He is risen," is the culmination of fixing the sin problem. It's been completely fixed. And there are some of you that still are experiencing some of the effects of sin, maybe some of the past of sin. But I'm here to declare to you today that even the effects of sin, even the scars of sin, even the pain of sin, anything that still may be ticking through your head or emotions that come to the surface, anything at all that is reminding you of a past sin you did or a sin that was committed against you has been crucified in Christ. And a blood has been shed by Jesus Christ to completely liberate, heal, and restore. That is that he, when it says he is risen, it's all been done. We have to quit living as if that sin is still alive. It has been crucified in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And there's a truth that he wants us to grab hold of. Yeah, we live in a fallen world, and fallen things are going to happen to us. But you don't have to live as a fallen being. You can live as a risen, living, resurrected side of Jesus Christ being. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to. But look at it goes on here to say. He's risen. As he said. How many times did Jesus try to tell them what he was going to do, and they didn't really want to accept it? Come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I mean, I guess I'd be trembling too. Excited and woo! And ran to bring disciples' word. To bring his disciples' word. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, the King James Version says, all hail! All hail! It's rejoice! Rejoice! It's all done. It's finished. It's completed. And that's the place that we are to live from. We're to live from. And you know what? As Jesus came to them, there is a coming of Jesus that has been taking place to a lot of people. He's here right now. He's here right now. And he wants to come to you. I mean, these women, they heard, they were getting ready to go, but put some more aloes and more preparation on Jesus. But can you imagine, this is what they thought life would be. They actually thought, when they were going to the tomb, that they were going to add something else to this dead corpse. It wasn't there anymore. And how many times are we experiencing something that's already been finished, already been taken care of? And how many times do we want to wallow in it or anoint it? But the price has been paid. And Jesus is coming, and he's trying to come to you in all your circumstances and all your situations. He's trying to come to you and give you a message of, it's time to hail him. It's time to rejoice. It's time to realize the price that has been paid and what he has secured for your life. Because there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people. Some of you here today that need to see Jesus, need to experience some of Jesus' life. Because we are told in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit and with what? Power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You see, that ministry continues today. But you see, where the enemy would like to keep you is in a place of oppression. The enemy would like to keep you in a place of always looking at the BC side of the cross, the before Christ. Always try to keep you in a place of looking at the negative, looking at the down, looking at this, instead of realizing that it has been done and completed in Jesus, and this same Jesus. The same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, and the same power, and the same anointing is available to every one of us here today. It's just not for special people in a position. We are part of the body of Christ. As the Word of God says, that oil, when it was poured on Aaron, went all the way down to the hem of his garment. The oil, Aaron representing the high priest, referring to Jesus, our high priest, and the oil that is upon Jesus spreads down to the all of the body. Now, we might have a different call, a different position in the body of Christ, but the ability to do whatever needs to be done is the same. It's the same Jesus, this same Jesus. And we have to realize Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if Jesus touched bodies then, he can touch bodies now. If he can restore people that had mental situations, you know, anybody have a mental situation? They got problems, anxieties, stresses, you know, just things that come inside their head. Jesus heals mental situations. Jesus heals people that have been deeply wounded. It doesn't matter how deep the wound is or how big the scar is. Christine just got a book, and I love the title. But it's love, love like you've never been hurt. I haven't read the book yet. Christine has it. I have to wait till she gets done with it. Love like you've never been hurt. Can you imagine? To be able to love and to live life, the newness of life that we have in Jesus, as if you've never been hurt, you've never sinned against anybody, and nobody's ever sinned against you, and all the trauma and all the pain that was brought into your life, that you're able to live, you're able to come to a place in Jesus Christ and live as if none of that ever happened. That's powerful. But that's our Jesus. That's what he does. This is our inheritance in him. This is what we are to be experiencing. And if we're not, then you can. Amen? Then you can. This is what he secured for us. This is our birthright. This is what the blood, this is what the purchased blood of Jesus on the cross. All hail! Rejoice! It's done! Hallelujah. We're coming to looking into these passages and looking into these scriptures so they can begin to speak to you, so they can begin to live in you, resound within you, speak louder than any other voice that may be speaking in you, speaking louder than anything else that may be, oh, you're just, how many of you, any of you ever have just thoughts? Or you'll always be thoughts. I tell you what, I want to live on, I do live on, and more live on the resurrected side. I live on walking in the newness of what he has secured for me. Ever becoming more sensitive when I find myself dipping in, because I do dip. I mean, even streets have dips in them. Dip ahead. I hope none of us have a sign like that over us, dip ahead. But we do dip at times, don't we? But one thing I like about a dip in the road, it's just momentary. Whoop, whoop. We dip and we come out. It doesn't say dip ahead, that's where you're going to remain. No, it's just letting us know what's ahead. But there's also bumps ahead, speed bumps. But it's temporary. It jars us. It lets you know it's loose in your car too. But it also lets you know it's loose in you. So we're going to experience dips and we're going to experience bumps. But if we'll listen, number one, they're temporary, momentary, and we can grow from them. We can be set free from those things. Amen? It's absolutely beautiful what the Lord has secured for us. But going down here, you see, this is Jesus' first appearance. This is his first appearance after his resurrection from the dead. And he says here, rejoice, or all hail. So he met them saying, rejoice, or all hail. And they came and beheld him. There's something about Jesus coming and hearing something that he's wanting to say to us. Something that he wants to impart life to us. And we know, I know, especially when I'm before the Lord, or if there's something in my life that I'm walking in or walking through, I know Jesus will come and Jesus will speak. And it will always be something that will end up being a rejoicing in my life, because it's going to reveal something he's already taken care of. He's going to show me where I'm at. He's going to show me what he's done. And he's going to show me where I need to be. Isn't that wonderful? But we have to respond, they came. He can come, and we can hear the word of God. A lot of us come, and a lot of us hear the word of God, but we have to what? Hear and receive, and when you hear and receive, you'll come to him. And you're going to find out naturally what you're going to do after that. What did they do naturally after? They came and what? It's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to come to the word of God. But it's another thing to behold the word of God. It's another thing to grasp it. It's another thing to bow yourself down, to bow that down. Oh, Lord God, this hurts, and I don't quite understand why this is going on in my life, but I do know. I do know. See, they were able to see the nail-pierced hands. They were able to see the nail-pierced feet. They were able to recognize that it was finished. It was done. And so he's going to come, and he's going to speak, and it's going to lead you to a place of rejoicing. But we are the ones that have to what? Come to him, behold him, and give our life. I remember last week we looked at the word worship. We looked at that word worship. And you're going to find yourself yielding to him, surrendering to him, exchanging your head. How many of us need a head exchange, a brain exchange? How many of us need to still have our minds transformed by the renewing of the word of God? How many of you need God's thoughts because your thoughts are not God's thoughts and your ways are not God's ways at times? Did you hear me say at times? Okay? But we have a promise from Isaiah chapter 55 that he wants his ways our ways and he wants his thoughts our thoughts. And Paul tells us we do already possess the mind of Christ. It's available to you. So I have to ask you, which mind do you want to think from? Which mind do you want to receive from? Your carnal mind? Doesn't it tell us in Romans chapter 8 what the carnal mind is? The carnal mind is what? At enmity with God. It opposes God. It fights against God. Does that mean you're like, you're taking pop shots at God? No. When we have our own thoughts or carnal thoughts or expressing, well, you can't say that I don't feel this way because I really do. My feelings are subject to truth. And when I find the truth, then my feelings must line up with the truth because truth is Jesus and Jesus never changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what you have to realize. So he comes and he speaks a word to us that's going to bring us to a place of rejoicing. But we also must be those who yield to him, who bow down to him, and who grab hold of him and saying, I thank you, Lord God. I'm going to allow your thoughts to be my thoughts, your words to be my words, your ways to be my ways. Because I know left to my own self, Lord God, it says that the carnal mind, Lord God, the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind, the renewed mind, the transformed mind is life and peace in Jesus Christ. How many of you could use some life and peace today? Especially in your thinking, I have life, I have peace, but I don't always have it in my thinking. See, that's where the truth needs to be brought in. And so he'll come, he'll speak to us. We have to come and we have to hold on to him. We have to hold on to that truth. It tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Are you allowing God's word, not just in your flesh, but to become who you are? So transform you that you become like Jesus. And then it goes on here to say, held him by his feet and worshiped him. And so this is so powerful here because this is the first revealing of Jesus. This is the first revealing of Jesus after his resurrection. Well, then I was reminded in my study this morning about the last revealing of Jesus as recorded in Scripture in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1 is the last recorded in Scripture visitation of Jesus to his last disciple alive on the earth. It's written somewhere about AD 90 forward. And as you know, John was considered the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. And what most people say in the commentaries that I wrote, all the other apostles are dead now. Paul's gone, Peter's gone, and John is the only one remaining. But we need to have a fresh vision of the risen Lord. And he wanted to make sure that this organization, this group, this body, this organic group of people that have come to know him, that only after 60 plus years since his resurrection that they needed to hear something afresh from Jesus. They needed to get something. And so he made sure that he stressed to every one of them two things that he said to all of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Two things that he said. He who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. And he that overcomes. He that has an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking, he that overcomes. So the Holy Spirit wants to speak. So when the Holy Spirit's speaking, it's Jesus coming. Once again, there's a word that he wants to give us, and eventually it's going to bring a rejoicing. But I've got to come, and I've got to behold, and I've got to yield, and I've got to surrender to that truth that he's revealing to me. I have to take that and then utilize that within my life and to overcome. And we're going to look at that for just a little bit, because I want this to go in our teaching. Jesus spoke about he overcame in John 16. It says that we overcome by our faith in 1 John chapter 5. He says seven times to the seven churches about overcoming. And he also tells us in Revelation chapter 21 about those that will be in heaven are the overcomers. So I think it's a very important subject to look at then, don't you? If Jesus talked about overcoming, and if we are supposed to be overcoming, and if he addresses the seven churches that they need to overcome, and if he talks about in the new heavens and the new earth, those that are present are the overcomers, then I think we need to pay attention to it, don't we? And I believe that there's another revelation or a greater revelation that Jesus wants to give. So we have the first revealing of Jesus after his resurrection to the Marys. Okay? In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus appearing and speaking to them, rejoice, or all hail. And then we have Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. I don't ever want you to think that what you're learning is not important. See, Jesus told us as part of his commission is to go and make disciples of all nations. So the first thing, in order for a disciple to be made, the gospel has to be preached, true? And for people to believe in it. Then he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. In order for a person to be baptized, they have to become a believer in Jesus Christ first, true? Yeah. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And may I just say this? If you're saved today and haven't been water baptized, then you have to be. You should want to be. You know, there have been people that I have spoken to over the years. They've come to know Jesus. Oh, I don't want to do that water baptism stuff. I said, the Word of God tells us very plainly that go and make disciples. Because they feel it's humiliating. Well, guess what? There's something in you that needs to die then. It's a command of the Lord that we should want to follow. Well, oh, wait a second. Even Jesus did it when he didn't need to do it to fulfill all righteousness. So why wouldn't we want to be like Jesus? Oh. And you know, so I even have to go back and talk to a person and question their salvation if they don't want to yield to the scripture that says a person needs to be water baptized. Wow. Because that's just mind-blowing to me, you know? I didn't really understand when I first got saved. I was just told to come the next Sunday and get dunked. You know, okay, you're saved, now you got to get water baptized. I had no idea what it meant. But after learning what it means, I said, oh my gosh, man. You know, it's like Peter when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, wash me all over! You know, do it again! But we don't have to do it again and again. We just have to realize what took place. And so, you know, looking at this, about going into all the world and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them. But see, to make a disciple, they have to come to know Jesus. And when they come to know Jesus, they'll want to be water baptized. And also, it says, teaching them all things whatsoever I commanded you. There are so many things that Jesus taught in his Gospels and further revelation that came through Peter and the other apostles and also Paul that he wants to teach us. And Jude and others that we read about also. And so there's things that he's wanting to make sure that he imparts to us. But that truth that's imparted to you, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he wants to use you to speak that revelation. He just doesn't want his word shut up within us. Yes, we should all be sharing the gospel, but we should all be looking to impart into somebody what we're learning. What we're learning. Amen? To make disciples of all nations. I see some people, I see them on Facebook. I mean, they're out there teaching, and some of the comments you probably don't like, but they're out there sharing what the Lord has been sharing with them. Some people meeting with people and sharing the Word of God with them. We should look for opportunities to impart to others the revelation of Jesus Christ that we have tasted of, that we have seen, that we have experienced, the Word of God that has been witnessed to us, that we should look for a place to release it, to release Jesus and His truth into somebody else's life. Amen? And so this is just an encouragement right now. Just don't think that you're just meant to come and sit and hear. You're meant to come to Jesus. And as you are here, I expect Jesus, the very presence of Holy Spirit, the Word of God itself, to come to you, to bring you to a place of change within your life that you can rejoice, that you can say thank you, Jesus, that will have such an impact on you that you will be changed and you will behold Him. And you'll find yourself in a place of greater admiration and greater worship to Him. But having said that, they experienced all this. In Matthew chapter 28, but He said, go and tell. He told those women, after all that, go and tell. Okay, go and tell the disciples. And so once again, we have to look for the outlet. So Jesus just didn't appear to John just to appear, but He wanted him to communicate to the seven churches in Asia at that time what He was going to share with him. And it's the same thing what happens with us. We should look to communicate to others. Why? Because grace and peace have come to us from Him. In verse 4. Grace and peace. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. I thought that was very, you know, I said, Lord God, did you really want me to dip into Revelation here today? And we even sang this, a part of this song today, didn't we? I was like, Lord God, thank you for your confirming of your word. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne, or the sevenfold Spirit of God. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Once again, it's taking it right back to what we just looked at in Matthew chapter 28 and bringing it now to a glorified Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Should we really fear anything about North Korea? Russia? Your boss? Kings of the earth. It doesn't matter who's in charge. Jesus is king over anybody who's in charge. Do you believe that He has charge over them? He has charge over them. And so we have to realize, some people, oh my gosh, you know, the price of this is going to go up and all this stuff that's happening and these price wars of... My kingdom is not of this world. If price is going to go up, don't you think God knows that price is going to go up? And don't you think that He understands that and that He still is the provider? He's still the provider. Is He not still the healer? Is He still not the deliverer? No matter how drastic a situation may be, is He still not the same? This same Jesus. The Word of God that says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have to realize that He is still the same. He is still who He has always been. Amen? He's over the kings of the earth. Let me ask you a question. When we talk about authority and power, who has all the authority and power? Jesus, isn't that what He expressed to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28? All power, all authority has been given to me, where? In heaven and on earth. Well, let me ask you a question. When God wants to exercise His authority through you, is it the same authority that is above, or is it the same authority of Jesus that you're exercising? Oh, so when He moves upon you to pray for a specific nation or a specific person or a specific job or a employer, I believe that Jesus Christ is over everything, whether He's over whether all the nations, whether it be this nation, whether it be our state, whether it be county government, whether it be city government, or whether it be the government of your home or the government of this church, or whether it be where you work. He's ruler of them all. But having said that, when he asks us to pray, we pray with his authority. We pray with his ability, and things change. See, if you don't believe things are changed, then you'll never believe that you'll pray in authority. You won't pray with authority. You'll pray a hope-so prayer or a maybe prayer. But when you know that the Spirit of God is moving upon you to pray for a given situation, if I get a person's picture, or years ago, I'll give you an example of Christine. When she worked at the St. Pete Times, she worked for the IT department, the computer department, and her boss's name was Coleman Brown. There would be times that Christine would get there ahead of him, and she would actually sit in his chair and speak the Word of God over that department. Did he come in and find you one time in his chair? Yeah. Oh, what are you trying to do, take my place? He was such a great man, such a loving man. Do you have the audacity to believe that God is over the department that you may be working in, or over the job that you're in, over this local authorities here, over this state, over this nation, over the governments of this world? And that when you are interceding as the Lord has placed it upon your heart, you think it's any different than like Christine sat in her boss's chair, that you are now sitting in that chair? You're just not sitting there alone. King Jesus is sitting there. And his rule and his reign are being spoken over that organization or over that nation. If we don't put power or put belief in what we're doing, then why are we doing it? He wants us to pray in authority. And if you'll ask the Holy Spirit about areas of prayer, areas of intercession, he will reveal his arm to you. He will reveal his strength to you. He will reveal to you what needs to be done. And you are to follow that. You are to obey him. And realize that Jesus is my head and you're the body, and that if he's having me pray this way, then there is an agreement that I have with heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is Jesus seated? Is Jesus ruling? Is he King of Kings and is he Lord of Lords? Let me answer that question, yes or no. Is he? Is he Lord of all? Yes or no? What is not included in all? And God wants your all to get a whole lot bigger than what it is right now. Some of our all is too small. Okay? Because, you know, in small is all. Okay? And some of our all is a little bit too small. Well, I know he can do that, but... So your alls have some conditions to it. I tell you what, when you start getting a vision like John got of the glorified Jesus. Okay, let's just go down here a little bit further. To him who loved us. Stop right there. Are you loved of God today? Do any of you believe you're cursed? Would you even say it if I asked it? Sometimes we think circumstance and situations, because of the negative circumstance and situations that our life is facing, we begin to question the love of God. Never question the love of God. Never question the love of God. His love is here. His love is toward you. Even when we're in rebellion and sin, let's just take it to the worst possible. Let's say I've made all these wrong choices. It's God's goodness that draws me back to himself. It leads me to a place of repentance. It says that when I was yet a sinner, he loved me. And so when my son growing up did things against me or my wife or stupid things, did I cease loving him? No, I did not cease loving him. I did not like what he did. And I would need to speak to him and minister to him. And hopefully, well, there were times that he came to repentance. It took a little bit longer than others. Oh, does that happen with us too? So that it would yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. My love for him did not change. Actually, there was more of a love that I had toward him, you know, in those times. And so we have to realize that the Father continues to love us. So are we going to allow present circumstances, or are we going to say, God, why? You know, Lord, this is going to be a difficult day because I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to get up and do some things today, and I'm going to have to face some of these same people. If you love me, then why don't you change the people? It's not the people that need to be changed. It's you. It's you. When we start putting conditions, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? If we are being irked, then the irk's within us. And we're the ones that need to change until what they're doing doesn't bother you at all. Oh, wait a second. What was the title of that book? Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. Love like there's nothing wrong. Love like you're always being treated fairly and rightly. Oh. Love that person like you would if they were saved. Oh. Because love covers what? A whole lot of sins, multitude. Okay? And that might be very difficult for some of you to do because sometimes we feel justified. We feel justified in the position that we're taking. But if you compare that justification that you're standing in, you compare it to Jesus, your justification is gone. Right? You know how many times that I have stood for my rights? I've got a right to this. I was right. I stood my ground. Bless God. And I was wrong because I was not righteous in my rightness. But God, there are some things that God is ministering to our hearts and to our lives here right now. Because I want to come to a place, as Jesus said, He said, all hail, or He said, rejoice. And you need to be in a place of knowing that He is who He is, and God is for you, and He's not against you. And God has the answer. Life is going to put bad bosses, bad management, bad neighbors, troublesome neighbors. Oh, God, I just pray that You would change them or remove them, Lord. How about if you better change or you're going to be removed? You know, we say some of these things. We've got to be careful what we're saying. Lest a greater thing come upon you. Oh. You know? Because, you know, at times, you know, we think, okay, that's good. I've said that prayer. I've said that prayer a lot. But it really wasn't until I changed that the circumstance changed. We had a family living with us, a couple living with us, and they were learning Spanish. And the guy across the street and his wife loved to play their music loud, so much so that they'd even put the speaker on the front porch and it would face our house, and the windows would rattle. I'm like, oh, Lord God, please, please, please. You know, you ever drove by one of those cars that make your car? Well, imagine a speaker pointed at your house and your windows are... And the guy living with us, Mark, I wasn't a pastor at this time. I'm going to go over there and have a word with them. I said, just stay in the spirit. Okay, I should have told him what kind of spirit to stay in. So he walks across there. He bangs on the door because they hardly heard what he just kept banging on it until they came to the door. Turn that music down before I kick a hole in this speaker. And I was just like, oh no. You're here temporarily. I got to live here. Well, if you'd know this guy, you'd turn it down too. And he turned it down. But after this couple left, it kept going on. And I was just like, Lord, You've called us to as much as possible. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12, as much as possible, you are to live with peace with all people. And Lord, help me live at peace here because I would really like to have a piece of them. And I said, you know, Father, we've ministered. I've shared the gospel with them. I shared the gospel with most everybody that was on my street at that time. Matter of fact, when the kid across the street tried to hang himself with the garden hose, all the neighbors came out, and they all got to hear the gospel right then and there because all the neighbors came out of all the house because there's Kevin across the street hanging himself, and I'm up over there, you know, holding him up and trying to get the garden hose from around his neck and just being able to sit down and just share Jesus. So the guy with the loud music and the other people living there and the other ones on the other side and the people across the street all got to hear about Jesus that day. Because there's really nothing in this life that you could possibly be doing, Kevin, or experiencing that Jesus Christ can't help you from what you're going through right now. So you don't have to take your life. Long story short, sheriff arrived at that house one day with the people that had the speakers that were blaring, and they had 30 days to move out because the people that they were renting from, they sold the house from underneath them. And so here they're paying rent to the people that who are supposed to own the house. Now the bank owns the house. Oh, yeah, I got repossessed. The bank owns the house, and so the person who did own the house is still receiving their money. And somebody from the bank happened to drive by and saw that they were living there and went and got the order for a 30-day removal. So after I changed and after I ministered the gospel and after I prayed for their salvation, they didn't receive right then and there. I don't know where they're at today. God changed the circumstance. And so you have to realize that usually the first change is going to happen within you. That's why we're going to look at this word overcome here. Because you're the one that has to overcome. The word overcome itself, by just expressing that word, means there's something you're going to face, an obstacle or something that's going to, you're going to face that will have to be overcome. Something's going to be interjected in your life that you're going to have to get over, that you're going to have to get the victory in. See, it's all been secured for us, but we have to walk out. We have to live from that place, that victory that Jesus secured for us, through all the different things that life brings our way. And so isn't there sometimes a myriad of things every day that you face? Maybe some more than others. Maybe there's something that's been going on for a long time. And that, why is this happening, Lord? You haven't overcome yet. And sometimes we're wanting to blame God, and we're the ones that need to change. Amen? Hallelujah. It's getting a little quiet in here, but that's okay. Now let's go on here what it says. Revelation 1. To him, verse 5, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed us from our sins. Are you washed today? Are you cleansed? Do you know that Jesus' blood has completely obliterated sin? When he took the sins of the world upon himself, he completely obliterated them. And you have to realize that obliteration of your sin, he wants you to walk in the freedom of sin. And when I'm saying that he's washed you from your sins, he's also provided for you in his sacrifice the consequences of it, the feelings of it, the judgment of it, the torment of it, the effects of it. Jesus Christ took it all so that you could be completely and totally restored. Every aspect of you, it's yours. So don't have to sit there and go back and rehash. You know, I was going to write a book. You know, someone said I should write a book of my life story. You've heard a lot of my stories over the years. And the Lord stopped me years ago from writing it. You know, it was going to be called Long Voyage of Mad Dog. Okay, because remember, I threw the bottle in the ocean, and 2 years later, the note in the bottle got a response from France, and it was in a Mad Dog wine bottle. And in that letter talked about suicide, and in that letter talked about being an alcoholic, and in that letter talked about all this stuff within my life. And so when these children, these school children found it in France 2 years later, they didn't know if I was alive. So they wrote, I was in the Coast Guard at that time, so they wrote a letter. And, are you still alive? Did you kill yourself? Well, I wouldn't have been able to respond, you know. Do you still own a 58 VW van? and all these, they just peppered me with all these questions, and I was able to write back a testimony letter. Because it had been almost 2 years on the Jesus side. I had got set free of alcoholism. I had met Christine, and she was pregnant with Jeremiah. And I was able to send them back a letter of what God had done within my life. But as I tried writing this, I've sat down and I put headings over different chapters. And the Lord was showing me that I was glorifying too much of my past. Now, there comes a time for us to share our testimony. But when you glorify so much of your past without bringing Jesus in, like the last chapter, and I got saved. I mean, you know, have you ever seen some of these testimony movies? You know, it's like 50, it's an hour broadcast, and it's like 50 minutes of sin, 5 minutes of how they got saved, and then another 5 minute of a credit roll. No, no, no. So he has not allowed me to do that. If in the future he may. But I think there's still a tendency at times to, yeah, to almost like puff it up. Oh, you want to know what kind of a bad sinner I was? No, no, no. I have not been released, and I may never be released from it. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Pastor Bill always said, he goes, you know, when people give testimonies, it should be a little bit about our past, and what should be magnified is where our life crossed his life. Where did your life cross his life? And what has been done, and what has been secured, and how have you changed, and how does your life now look on the resurrected side? Amen? I think sometimes when we have a test, we have a tendency to look on our past, it starts bringing up garbage that shouldn't be brought up. And your mind starts thinking about it, then feelings start getting associated with it, like, no, 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 no. He has delivered me from darkness to light. And that's what I focus on, is the light in Jesus Christ. Amen? So let me ask you again, do you know that you're washed from your sins? And having said yes, the effects of them too. See, he wants to bring a complete healing of your spirit, soul, and body. A cleansing of the way that you view things or what people may have said about you, what you experienced, or what you might have done to others. See, Jesus' redemption is so complete, it's just not for the sin. It's for even the feelings of them. It's even for the damage of them. It's for the hurt of them. So I want you to know that if you've just stopped, I know I'm forgiven. He wants to go deeper. He wants to go a whole lot deeper. Okay? And then a place that we now occupy is kings and priests before the Lord. He has made us kings and priests to our God. A small K, he's the big K. King of kings, Lord of lords. That's just not referring to people here on this earth. But you have a royal position before the Lord, and that's when it says that you are kings, you also have an authority that you're supposed to learn how to wield. You're supposed to learn how to use. Okay? It's called the authority of the believer that I would like to get into in this teaching and to properly teach the body of Christ how to use the authority that Jesus Christ has given you. Because a lot of times people just, oh, I bind this and I do that and I do, and they're doing a whole lot of stuff, but nothing's happening. Okay? Jesus said that he did always those things that were pleasing in the Father's sight. That you have to realize that God wants to give an impression to you to utilize his authority and then to properly execute it. A prince carries out the order of the king or the superior king. Say, let's just say that Jesus is president here of the United States. Well, in the United States, we have all these different branches of government, and they're supposed to take orders. Well, when I was in the military, what's our president called? Commander and what? Chief. Commander. Commander meaning he commands the legion. He commands the army. He gives them orders. And so when I'm given an order by a subordinate officer, it's still as if it's coming from the king. It's still as if it's issued from the king, even though that it might be someone been given that authority, and because they have that authority, they're allowed to make decisions for those under them, for them to follow, and it all comes under the commander-in-chief. And so he wants you to be able to know what his word is, and who he is, and how he views the circumstance and situation, and what his word has to say about it, so that you have a full understanding, so that you can properly execute or speak or pray or intercede or even command what you need to command for the circumstance to change. Instead of, like I said, a lot of times we're like shotgun. We like, okay, there's the problem. I've got, let's see, inside the shotgun. How many pellets are usually in a shotgun shell? 50? 100? Any of you shotgun people? Okay, let's say there's 50 pellets within that shotgun. Sometimes we'll have like 50 scriptures, okay? And there's the problem. Well, the Word of God says this, Word of God says word. Okay, there's the problem. And we're hoping one of those pellets will hit. Scattergun. That's close. Almost. And then all of a sudden one hits. Wow, out of all those 50 things, I said, which one was it though? Why not be more like a sniper that has a sure truth of God's word? And there's where it needs to be directed. You've heard clearly by the Holy Spirit. This is what the word of God says. You're clear in the matter yourself. You understand. You understand completely what the Lord is requiring of you. Okay, Lord God, your word says this. Hits the target. Circumstance changed. Authority in the name of Jesus. Or being able to say the words that Jesus wants you to say, pray the way that Jesus would have you pray, in the character and manner in which Jesus Christ himself would pray it, and see the results that Jesus Christ himself had. Isn't that what you want to have more in your life? See, this is all possible. He didn't give us these things in here just to tease us, as you've been hearing me say. He's made us kings and priests. Jesus was, even business models today, they have courses on servant leadership now, and they take it from the Word of God. Servant leadership. Servant leadership. See, we're kings and priests. And Jesus said that he was, what, a servant of what? Some or all? And so he came to represent God to the people and eventually bring us to God through his cross. And so he wants us to be able to serve and love others as he served and loved others. Not, he said, not as the Gentiles do it, by commanding. In other words, by this is what, Alan, you, this is what you're going to have to do for me today. Jesus had a way of speaking and a way of ministering that Alan would respond, Lord, would you like me to take care of that? See, he has a way for us to come up and serve people in a manner in which they will want to willingly serve God at the request of whatever we're being asked of. And so we're to be representing that kind of a Jesus to people, a priestly, a servant. Those who worked at the altar were servants of the altar, and they were servants of that sacrifice at the altar. Jesus Christ has already given his life as a sacrifice to us. We give back our life to him as a living sacrifice, and we minister the truth of what has already been secured at the altar of his cross. But there's a way to minister that truth. There's a way to show forth that truth, first of all, received and exampled within us, and then ministering it to others, that they will want to receive the love of the truth. Amen? And so we get this wonderful revelation here in Revelation chapter 1 of Jesus. We're not going to go into his magnificence here today. But his first appearing, and when he appeared to the disciples, was not like this appearing here in Revelation chapter 1. There was a completely wonderful, majestic, glorified, beaming, glorious, radiant Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus is not on the cross anymore? He's not even associated with the things that he suffered. It's all done. It's all done. Okay? And sometimes, you know, growing up, I went to a Catholic school for a number of years. Oh, poor suffering Jesus. The Word of God said he suffers no more. He's not suffering anymore. He's a glorified Jesus at the right hand of the Father, not diminishing anything that he did, not diminishing his suffering at all of what he suffered. But he doesn't suffer anymore. He doesn't identify with that. It's already been done. It's already been completed. It's almost 2,000 years in the past now. But the cross, when Jesus Christ did come, changed everything in history. Changed everything. And we never diminish the cross, even though that Jesus doesn't suffer anymore. We remember what he did. Do this in remembrance. In remembrance of what he did, in remembrance of what he experienced, in remembrance of him taking the sin of the world upon himself, remembering the torture which he was tortured with, remembering the stripes in which he was striped with, all for the release of mankind so that we can become as he is. That's powerful. That's powerful. And so no matter what things that people are facing now, there was a Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago that was tortured, that everyone could be healed. There was a person during one of my Thursday classes, and they were having a hard time wrapping their mind around, by his stripes they were healed. I was like, yeah, he was wounded, and I understand that. And then I just remember saying this in a Thursday class. I said, he was traumatized with our trauma. And that made all the difference to this person. because this person had gone through a lot of trauma within their life. And they were just looking at him being beaten with that, like, cat of nine tails, you know, and like, well, okay, I understand that, but how does that relate to me? But the moment you said he was traumatized with the trauma we experience, that gets it down on a level where everybody can. So no, see, it says that he had to be tempted or tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. He had to suffer the pain and afflictions that every one of us in every area that we would experience torment or trauma in, he himself had to suffer in the same, or he could not be our high priest. There are pains that I go through that I know Jesus Christ went through, and I said, oh, Lord Jesus, how were you able to bear that? Thank you for bringing your comfort into my life. Melissa, there's times that you're experiencing things within your own body that at times it's too much. And the tears flow and the pain is there, and like it just seems like it's just too much for a person to handle. It's too much, Lord. Always remember, he became the too much. When we feel like we're in a pit, I believe Corrie Ten Boom said this. There is no pit that is too deep that Jesus is not deeper still. And that's what you have to realize, that no matter how down or how low or how painful or how hurt or how traumatized that we may have been, he was traumatized more or below that. Wow! Wow! That's our Jesus. So we could be lifted way above it as if we've never experienced it at all or been through it. And that's the place that he wants to bring every one of us. Amen? And that's part of this overcoming life that he has secured for us. And I'm just going to read this from Revelation chapter 2. It's the first overcomer, or the overcoming statement, to the church at Ephesus. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 2. He who has an ear. Everybody here has ears. It's not what he's talking about. I mean, the people in Ephesus didn't have, I mean, they all had ears. They weren't missing any ears. I mean, you wouldn't believe sometimes the question, oh, does that mean that some didn't have ears? I was like, oh my gosh. He has an ear, not natural, spiritual ear. I mean, didn't Jesus even say you have eyes but you don't see, you have ears but you can't hear? Okay, well, he's talking about if you have a spiritual ear, the Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention in this day and age in which we're living in, and sometimes our personal situations. I'm not demeaning anything that a person is facing, but sometimes the personal situations that we're going through are taking you away what God has for you. You're hearing too much of something else. Too much of an inner voice, too much of somebody else's voice. It's the ear isn't hearing what it needs to be hearing. The truth isn't being received as it needs to be received. There's another hearing, and it's influencing your thinking. It's influencing your emotions. It's influencing everything about your life. As a person thinks, so they will become. So let me ask you, how have you become? How are you right now? And so hopefully we can say we're overcoming. But some of us were not. Because thoughts and feelings and emotions and present circumstances, they just seem to pile up. But they're speaking then louder than he's speaking. And God has a truth. God has a word. He who has an ear, God has something for you to hear even at that time, even when you're by yourself, even when nobody else can identify what you're going through. And some people, you know, you try to explain to them what you're going through and they throw out a scripture to you. Like, wow, thanks a lot. It's going to be a place where you're going to have to hear from God. Because nobody else can identify with you. Now, there are some times that people have tried to come up to me, oh, Pastor Mark, the Word said this, the Lord told me to tell you this, well, thank you very much. You don't want to crush anybody, like, that sure doesn't help. But he has something that he wants you to hear. And so just be available to him. Like, wait a second, Jesus. Wait a second. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they shall not follow. There's something you're trying to teach me. There's something that you're trying to explain to me. There's a promise that you want me to grab hold of. There is something that they may be in my life that you're wanting me to shun or put aside. Maybe there's something you want me to repent of or confess, Lord God. Maybe there's something, a teaching that I'm lacking that you want to fortify me in. See, come to him. come to him and he will speak, and he will speak what you need. He will teach you. He will instruct you. If he has to raise up a person to prophesy, then he'll raise up a person to prophesy. He will get his word to you. You have an ear. Do you want to hear? The question is, do you want to? Lord God, I want to hear. I need to hear. I'm not living like this anymore. I need to hear from you, Lord. But be prepared to what he wants to say. You may not like it. But when they came to him, he said, all hail. It will bring you to a place of rejoicing. It will bring you to a place of healing. It will bring you to a place of restoration. The journey may not be present at the moment, but he wants something for you to receive right there at that time as if it's already been done and nothing's changed. See, that's what faith does. God reveals a truth to you about himself. The circumstance hasn't changed. You're still in the same seat as you were. Oh, Lord God, I just need you to reveal something to me, Lord God. It just seems as these things don't ever seem to change. All of a sudden, he speaks. Oh, really? Oh, God, just forgive me of that. I didn't mean to be like that, Lord God. I know what that word says. I know your word says that in the world we'll have tribulation. I do really feel like I'm squeezed. And I know what you know what knows. You know what it's like to be squeezed. Oh, yes, you did overcome all things. Oh, you want me to be of good cheer? Okay, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm still sitting here. The situation hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. But I have. But I've changed. You see, that's where he wants to get you. We're wanting the situation to change, then we'll change. He wants you to hear what he has to say and change, then the situation will change. And I'm not telling you when. Things I've been standing on for years. I still got the word of truth. I still hold on to it. I'm not letting go of it. God is faithful. I'm not always faithful, but he's always faithful. I mean, Scripture says, even when we become faithless, you ever become faithless? I'm done. Forget it. Too much. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes, you know, pain can be horrible. And I've let these words come out of my mouth. It's too much, Lord. Really? All of a sudden, you know, we have a couple movies when we're going through difficult times. We have a couple different movies that we like to play. One of them is Corey Ten Boom's, what's that movie, honey? Hiding Place. You watch The Hiding Place, you watch China Cry, or that one that just came out in the theaters. A lot of Christians don't like that new movie, Apostle Paul. I'm not talking about doctrinally. I'm not going to talk to you about doctrinally. They don't like the fact that they see Christians being, you know, dipped in oil and burned, you know, during the movie. You know, that part makes people very uncomfortable. But as I've read through the book, Fox's Book of the Martyrs, that the one guy, when he was set on fire and he was burning at the stake, he said, if my hands get loosed, I'll let you know if God gives me peace in the fire. He says, I'll start clapping my hands. Well, his bands got loosed and the fire's consuming him. And he's clapping to let everybody know that's watching him as his body becomes a pillar of fire, that God has given him victory in the fire. You see, we have to realize that he is in charge of my life. And some of us don't like to look at things like that. They're going on in the world right now. Your brothers and sisters are facing things like this right now. Like I've always said, his grace is sufficient. If anybody's to experience that, there's a grace that's going to be given to them. Having experienced a lot of different accidents in my life and broken this and broken that, shock is a gift from God. When the body goes into shock, there have been things that have been cut or broken in my life, and because I went into shock, I was able to have my wits about me, able to do what I needed to do, get where I needed to go, and once I got there, the pain came. But God allows the body to experience shock. So can we not also say that when a person's in that situation, can he not just allow the body to go into shock and give them the wherewithal to bear it? Okay? Praise the Lord. Whether I live, I live unto the Lord. Whether I die, I die unto the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Amen? But there's a hope that he's wanting to bring in all of our hearts, in all of our lives. Let me just finish reading this. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is the plurality, not just the seven churches. I believe that this book of Revelation was preserved for all the churches throughout the almost 2,000 years, because there's something that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak, and especially to this church age right now. But as he's speaking, this last part here, to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. I'm going to close with this right here. The word overcome here means to conquer and to carry away the victory. To come off with the victory. To hold fast. Okay, the figurative meaning for this, when you look it up in the lexicon, the figurative meaning is this: to hold fast one's faith in Jesus and God's word, even if need be unto death, against the powers and influences of any foe, temptation, or persecution. To cause one to prevail, to get the victory before experiencing it. In other words, it becomes an experienced reality already within you. So when the word of God is received and the Lord speaks to you, it's as if, it's almost like you become, and you go from Abram to Abraham. In other words, he hadn't had any children yet, but yet his name was changed from Abram to what? Father of many nations, and he didn't even have a child yet. The word becomes so real, the truth becomes so real to you, you go ahead and possess it as a living reality right now, and these are some of the things that he's wanting to speak and do. There's some truth that he has for your lives, that in the present situation that you're in, there is a truth that you do not possess yet. Or maybe you do, and you just have it, you're juggling with it. How do we apply this stuff, God? You just asked. Expect an answer then. There are times, you know, all these different passages. I said, yeah, I know that's your word, Lord, but how? What does he want me to do with this? Oh, that was the next part of the question. Thank you, Lord. Then he'll begin showing me its application within my life. You see, God is a loving Father. And as a loving Father, as a parent, don't we love his parenthood? Does he know how to parent you? And so he wants to show you also the how of the truth of his word. Amen? So, Father God, I'm going to close this section here today. Lord, you revealed yourself to these women, Lord God. You came to them and said, all hail. Rejoice. And Lord God, there's a place of rejoicing that you want all of us to get. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Wow, really? Rejoice in you always, Lord? That's what the Apostle Paul wrote, Lord. And we have to take those words and say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, re-emphasizing, Lord God. There's something you're trying to re-emphasize about rejoicing or trusting you by faith. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your gentleness, or your self-control be made known unto all people. Oh, here's the key, Lord God. The Lord is at hand. You are not alone. The Lord is at hand. He hasn't left you. You may not sense his presence. You may not feel him anywhere around. If you are God's child, if you are God's child, by faith you can begin a rejoicing because you're not alone. He's already journeyed it. He's already walked through it. He's already experienced it. He's already secured your victory for it. You can begin with a place of rejoicing by faith. Re means to do it again. Rejoice. It means the joy of God is already within you. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you are the one that has to stir it up within you. Oh, I just heard something like this just now. Rejoice. Yeah, I just rejoice. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Be careful, Lord God. No mocking spirit here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I know what I'm talking about because I live there. Thank you, Jesus. This is just not a passage that Paul just took lightly and penned. This is the truth that dwells within you as a child of God. Because God is with you, he has not abandoned you. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you till the end of the age. that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall men do unto me? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Because the Lord is your helper, then you can rejoice. Is the Lord your helper? The answer should be yes. If the Lord is your helper, then by faith you can rejoice. You can stir up the joy. Because it dwells within your spirit. It's the old man. It's the carnal man. It's the feelings, the mind, and the emotion. It's the soul that is trying to be in contradiction to the Word of God right now within your life. And he is speaking here right now. He's speaking very plainly that you have a choice, and your choice needs to be him. Because as I started this message, the Lord said, all hail or hell. But having said that, the Lord also said to me, I can hail or rejoice while experiencing hell. Because he went there and secured my release from it. So I can rejoice, and so can you, in Jesus' name. Amen?